Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Yeah, it is. Happy Tuesday, everyone. Happy Tuesday. James is there. I'm Kyle. We're hanging out with you till noon. Then we'll hand it off. D'Lo and KC will rock with you from noon to 4. The Elk Grove Kia talk line is 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320, if you'd like to join the program. Again, if you want to call the show, we would love to hear from you. Keep in mind, it might ring for a while because we don't have a call screener. So we're going to do our best to get to the calls when we can. So just be patient with us. We would love to hear you call in, though, again, on the Elk Grove Kia talk line at 916-909-1320. Salute to everybody listening on the radio on ESPN 1320 AM. We appreciate you, everybody in the chatty house. That's YouTube.com/ESPN1320 and Twitch.tv/ESPN1320. We appreciate y'all watching there. And anybody listening on the free Odyssey app, or maybe you're a podcast listener, maybe you're on the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen show.
There it is.
You can't listen live and you're listening back. Salute to you and thank you as well. We appreciate you so very much for subscribing. And if you don't subscribe, you can do so. The James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show, wherever you get your podcasts. Okay. Kings 110, Nets 96. I have some whining to do about the game, and I can do that later, because it feels like everything with the Kings right now, there's a specter of the trade market. The trade deadline just hangs over the team.
I would agree 100%.
Because they need, like, everybody knows they need to make a move. If they want to get, like, they can go to the playoffs with the team they have, and maybe they get a first round with the team they have made. But, like, if they want to start pushing this window wider and raising their ceiling, they have to make some changes. And I think everybody's on that page. And I think the first thing, that there are so many angles on the trade market to dig into, just based around last night's game. And we can start with, I guess, two things. One, Kevin Huerter did not play.
No, he didn't play. And if I'm not mistaken, that's his first DNPCD, did not play, coach's decision, since he joined the Kings 2.5 years ago.
So I went back and looked.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball Reference has you either as inactive, did not dress, or did not play.
Yes.
There was a stretch where he had a did not play, but it was in the middle of a bunch of inactives. So I think that's probably just a data entry error.
Yep.
The last time I could tell that he was, like, as far as I know, healthy, like, played a bunch of games before and then played the games after, was the last game of the 2020-2021 season when he was at the Hawks.
Yeah.
May 16th, 2021 was the last time I can tell that Kevin Huerter had a did not play coach's decision. And even then, it was like last game of the year, they were getting ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting because you're going into a game against a team that you have had trade negotiations with.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care what semantics anybody wants to say. The Sacramento Kings and Brooklyn Nets have had trade conversations regarding Cam Johnson. End of story.
Mm-hmm.
They have. And the player that would go to the Nets is Kevin Huerter, because it's the one piece that matches salary. And you're going to need Kevin Huerter's salary to make that trade.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that the Kings went into Brooklyn and had an opportunity to show the Brooklyn Nets what Kevin Huerter looks like as a player and chose not to, I think is a very interesting twist and turn. Cam Johnson is sitting out as well.
Right.
So the two guys that are the trade principals are sitting there watching each other from the opposing bench.
I half expected, like, halftime for a trade to come down. And it didn't.
And
there's a chance that this was a decision by Doug Christie to say, hey, this player is struggling.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not going to play tonight. we can beat the Nets with Keon Ellis and Trey Lyles and Devin Carter and Doug McDermott getting some burn and Alex Len getting some burn. Although Alex Len ran a minus 14 in 4.5 minutes. So not too much burn. But maybe that's what that was. But given all the speculation and all the rumors and the buzz in the trade market, Kevin Huerter not playing last night is notable.
Oh, I think it's extremely notable. And like, look, I think we're to that point in the program where Kevin Huerter might not play a couple of games here until he's traded.
Mm-hmm. And Zach LaVine, it was announced last night, isn't going to play the Bulls' next three games.
Yeah, he's not playing. They don't want to risk him
for
rolling an ankle.
Reasons.
And
hopefully it's not anything super serious with Zach LaVine.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but you can assume that there's, it's just the team is like trying to figure out ways to make a move.
Mm-hmm.
And like, look, the Kings could get in on a whole bunch of different trades here.
Yeah.
And the Cam Johnson situation.
Let's stick on that for a second.
Yeah, from everything I hear, it's the same exact situation that it has been for the last couple of weeks. The Nets just want an unprotected pick and probably more.
Sure.
And whatever they're asking, the Kings looked at them and said, you haven't come down. Like, this isn't a negotiation. This is, you're just like hardlining and that's
right.
Not going to work.
Right. And frankly, so we haven't really talked about this from the Nets angle, but frankly, that's probably the right thing for the Nets to do because there's no, for them, there's no urgency to get this deal done. If the Kings want Cam Johnson that badly,
mm-hmm.
And maybe the Kings go make a different deal in the meantime. Maybe they go and say, all right, fine, screw that. We got this great deal for John Collins. We're just going to go do that instead. But the Nets are going to have suitors for Cam Johnson. It's not like the Kings are the only team.
No, so, that's true.
But they can afford to kind of sit there and wait it out, and they don't have to pull the trigger on a deal that they don't want to pull the trigger on with 10 days to go until the deadline.
Yeah, I totally agree. And like Drew down in the chat says, King expecting the Nets just to give Cam away is laughable. That's not what they're expecting. What they're expecting is the price to come down a little bit.
Yeah,
because life is a negotiation, right?
Sure.
The great David Stern, life is a negotiation.
Sure.
Right? And you're hoping that, you know, when you sit across from each other, like, can we just get this deal done?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is they couldn't. I mean, mm-hmm. They were there in their building last night. And whether they met or they didn't, there was an opportunity, and that opportunity did not yield anything. And for me at this point, it's probably time to move on, and it's probably a moment where if you want to wait another 8 days, that's fine. Like, if you want to run them up against the deadline, what are we, 9 days officially?
10 days.
10 days, okay.
If you count the deadline day.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if you want to wait all the way up until the last second, but then potentially lose other trades... Like, okay, mm-hmm. but what does that yield you? And like, are you getting a great player that's going to change everything? And the answer is no. Like, I keep saying this, like, anything that the Kings are getting right now,
mm-hmm.
this might change in the coming days.
No doubt.
It might change in the coming, but today, anything you're getting is probably not even a starter. So, like, yeah. Whether it's Cam Johnson or it's John Collins, neither of those guys from what I can tell, mm-hmm. are going to start. Unless you're going to bench Keegan Murray, that's always a possibility. But as of right now, I don't think you're going to bench your one of your best two defensive players and the only guy that can defend multiple players.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're doing it. So no. The pieces that we're talking about here are, I don't want to call them tertiary because they're not. They're more mm-hmm. than that. But we're talking about the sixth, seventh, eighth man in your rotation.
Right.
And you can say, well, but look at their numbers. It's like, don't worry about their numbers on the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah.
The Brooklyn Nets are a bad team. We saw them last night. Like, they gave the Kings a fight,
mm-hmm.
and Jordy's got them playing hard, but...
They stink.
How many times did you go, who in the... I don't know who... Like,
There were flashes of some brilliance surrounded mostly by, ugh.
I mean,
if the Kings played a clean game last night, they played probably. I thought the Kings played like a C game last night.
Oh yeah.
If the Kings play a B minus B plus game, they win that game by 30.
Yeah. So Iwomu,
mm-hmm.
which he's our the guy with the silent V and B, like he busted them up for 9 points in like the first half.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Like
15,
how many
15 and 8 for him?
How many names did we come across that were like, who is that guy and why is he scoring points? And I think that that's where you know, again, the Kings went in there. They took care of business in the end. Mm-hmm. You wish it would have been easier. You wish that he wouldn't have had to play starters major minutes. But at the end of the day, that's what happened. Now, there's a lot going on. The distractions around this team are wild at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't think the trade deadline is a distracting point, like Marcus Thornton used to like molt. Like, he would get like patchy everywhere. Like, he could not handle the trade deadline. And he also couldn't play in the month leading up to the trade deadline. And then the deadline passes and you bust out for 30.
It also, a good indicator of how difficult the trade deadline is a story you always tell or something you always point out. Harrison Barnes is a pro's pro, most media-friendly most media-friendly player there is. Harrison Barnes, when he was with the Warriors, said to Marcus Thompson, who's covered the Warriors for a long time, I want to go to where you're from. Take me to where you're from, and I want to explore Oakland with you.
Okay.
Like, that's the kind of media-friendly person.
Yes.
Harrison Barnes, when he was with the Kings at the trade deadline, was like, I'm not doing this until after the deadline.
He said in late December, I'll see you after the deadline, when they asked him to come and do media.
Right.
And they're like, wait, after the deadline, like a month plus from now? And he's like, yeah, I'll see you after the deadline.
Right. It's not an
easy
thing.
And then he didn't sit at the podium for 6 weeks. And could he have been fined? Maybe. But that's, we're talking about a media-friendly guy.
Sure, right.
Yeah, and so I'm with you. Like, the trade deadline, it brings out the worst, and because everyone on the outside is, like, all excited, right? I'm sitting here right now, and in my inbox, while we're sitting here, Kyle, I got from this guy, Jared Kimball, from GDClocalmedia.com.
Ah, yeah, no, for sure.
He sends me, because he thinks it's important that he sends this to me, De'Aaron Fox trade destinations and the odds.
Oh.
So the odds of De'Aaron Fox going to the Houston Rockets are plus 1,200.
Okay.
This is fresh this morning. The Lakers plus 1,500. The Miami Heat plus 1,500. The Orlando Magic plus 2,000. The San Antonio Spurs plus 3,000. And the field / stay with the Kings is a minus 250.
Hmm.
I mean, that's where we're at.
Sweet. Love that.
Like, look, the thing is that I hate to tell people this and remind you of this, but De'Aaron Fox is a person. He's not a team. Right. He's not a like a betting odd. You would not expect that to be a betting odds, but it is. Mm-hmm. And that's what guys have to deal with during the trade deadline.
Yep.
They have to deal with odds makers literally making odds as to what team they might be playing for, if not their own team.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that feels good. I think the way that we've become, like, we've made a spectacle of it, for sure, and we're always sitting here trying to figure out what's happening next, right? And as somebody who's been a reporter forever, like, there's so many things that I've heard and know that I just can't sit here and report because it's a lot of it's not true, but a lot of it is, it's stranger than fiction.
Sure.
It's too wild to sit here and talk to you about.
Right.
And so, like, look, I think we're heading into like a really interesting time where the Kings are on the clock, man. If Monty and Wes don't understand that they're on the clock, the boost, the new coach boost that they got from Doug Christie, they got like another 2 weeks.
That's just it, man. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, and this is why I don't think we're going to see the Kings just kind of sit idly by, and Monty McNair is going to talk about maintaining roster flexibility and financial flexibility, because you don't have that anymore, man.
Nope.
The seat got hot. They fired the coach. Okay, seat cooled down for a second, but it's warming up again. And I think that this is where, whether it's Cam Johnson, whether it's John Collins, and it's not making a move just to make a move. It can't just be just do any deal just to say you did it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's why, for me, like everything has to be on the table. The untouchable group of players, That has to go out the window. They Wes Wilcox and Monty McNair can't just sit idly by now and go, okay, well, we didn't really want to give up this player or this player, and we wanted to hang on to this pick, and like that's not gonna play, dude. Given the discussion that we've been having and that the fan base has been having, and front offices shouldn't be driven by a fan base, but this is 3 years of this.
Oh yeah.
22-23, we had the same conversations. 23-24, same conversations this time of year, and now we're having them again. And now they go to Brooklyn. We go, oh, man, hey, good chance to walk out of there. Like you just said, they're probably moving on from that Brooklyn deal. And if Brooklyn calls them and says, okay, fine, how about top 10 protected? Okay, let's talk again. But I don't think the Kings are going to go back to the Nets.
I would hope they wouldn't go back to the Nets. I would hope that they would move forward because at this point, that's where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you couldn't get a deal done, go ahead and move forward. And mm-hmm. the problem that I have is that, just what you said, like 2 years ago, we get to the trade deadline and they traded for Kessler Edwards and they got a second round pick to take Kessler Edwards. Mm-hmm. So the Brooklyn Nets could drop lower on the salary and save some luxury tax money. The next year, all this buildup, all this talk. And the problem is, Kyle, that the talk that we hear, it's not just talk that they have that we hear out in the media. It's talk that they have with their players. It's Domantas Sabonis walking into his basketball camp this summer, and we ask him about the DeMar DeRozan acquisition, and he goes, man, I'm glad we got that one done. There were two other ones that we were supposed to get done and then didn't happen again.
Like, that was wild.
Just didn't happen. Like, at least we got this one done. Yeah. Thanks. And it was like, oh my gosh, wait, what? Like, how many times we've heard in the media that, hey, players know something's happening, and then nothing happens. That's because they're trying to inform their players that something's about to happen,
mm-hmm.
and then they don't get the job done at the end of the day. And I know there are all kinds of reasons why that doesn't happen, but like, look, there are so many mixed messages with this, the entire run of this team, so many mixed, of this front office group. So many mixed messages. We're going to be aggressive, 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 aggressive. And then nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, there's no way we're keeping the pick. Like, mm-hmm. how many times that there is, I believe, like, deep down in my soul that they're not going to draft their pick,
mm-hmm.
the number 9 pick when they took Davion. That pick was on the table the entire time. Hey, just so people know, they didn't even ever talk to Davion Mitchell before they drafted him. Never spoke to him once. Didn't talk to him at the combine. Didn't invite him to Sacramento. Never spoke to him one time. Drafted him sight unseen. Of course, they saw him play at Baylor.
Sure.
This last year, Devin Carter, they were trading that pick. Mm-hmm. I know now they had deals worked out, and they fell through again. Didn't trade the pick.
Do you think they're falling through because the Kings are getting cold feet?
I don't know, for whatever reason, when you get to a certain point, you have to be able to close a deal.
Totally.
I mean, this is sales, right? It's just straight up sales.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you gotta, it's your job as a salesperson to convince someone to say yes when they want to say no.
Sure.
And that's it.
Sure.
And they haven't been able to do that. They haven't been able to close a deal. So, like, for whatever reason, and that I've always said it, don't make a deal because you have to make a deal to appease someone like myself or appease someone like Kyle or appease all of the people that listen to our show. Mm-hmm. You're not making that deal because of us. Mm-hmm. You're making that deal because your team isn't good enough.
Yeah.
It's not good enough to compete for a championship. And mm-hmm. if you're not trying to compete for a championship when you went out and signed a 35-year-old 6-time All-Star, if you're not willing to go press the button to go get that extra piece,
mm-hmm.
then what are you doing?
Yeah.
I mean, that's it, Kyle. Like, you're the one who, they put themselves on this path. No one else did.
Right.
When they decided to go out there and open a window, open a whatever window it is, mm-hmm. Western Conference Finals or second round playoff window or potentially a something bigger, they opened the window when they went out and signed a 35-year-old player to a 2-year yep. deal with a 3rd-year option. So now if you're living in that window and you can see that your team still isn't good enough, you have to go out and do whatever you have to do to make it work. And it's tough.
And then you get, there's the other angle on this. You watched De'Aaron Fox last night with a bad glute
Everything.
And a bad back and yeah. half a hand.
Dude's duct taped together at this
just,
point.
You watch him drop 30 on 11 of 19. He goes 4-for-7 from three. He was outstanding, dished out 7 assists. Got to the free throw line for the first time since January 22nd. Scored 20 or more for the first time since January 14th and hit the 30-point mark for the first time since Jan 1. You watch him do all that, and it's a really stark reminder of, oh, wait, that's looming over all this, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because don't forget, there's meetings with the front office.
His agent came out and hung out and laid down the law.
That's out there.
It's out like there.
That's the clutch way. It's like if you're winning and you're giving De'Aaron Fox an opportunity to play in the playoffs and play deep into the playoffs every year, fine. Then he'll hang out in Sacramento. He'll get his all NBAs. He'll get his Supermax, and that's it. But I think last night was just, so much of the conversation around De'Aaron Fox has been like, what's wrong with him? Like, man, he's super banged up and he's not scoring. And like, hey, this is January swoon. And now he goes off again last night. And it just really highlights, oh, yeah, on top of all this, on top of just trying to compete this year and maybe next year, you have your franchise player.
Your franchise player told the franchise a month and a half ago that they had to go out and get better players.
Right.
Now.
Right.
His agent told them, if you want him to stay, you have to go out and get better players now. Not 3 months from now. Mm-hmm. Not next summer.
Right.
Not, we almost had a deal and it fell through. Mm-hmm. All of that BS is over. Mm-hmm. We need the better players now so this team can be better. And to be honest, they need those players now so the team can win more games, so De'Aaron Fox has a better chance of being all NBA and can get max money. Mm-hmm. And I know it's like, oh, that sounds greedy and everything else. No, that's what an agent's job is to
that
do.
That is what every agent and every player of De'Aaron Fox's caliber is trying to do every single game.
Yes.
That is not a De'Aaron Fox thing. This is a person trying to make the most money at their job thing.
Yep. Well, now, Kyle, we get to this moment, and this is like a major pivotal moment in the history of the Sacramento Kings.
That's, I think, why we're talking about it every day.
Yes.
Because if this trade deadline goes by with no action, you are going down a very, very different path for the organization.
Yes.
Which is why the urgency here is so high.
So for every action, there's a reaction?
Yeah, like equal or opposite reaction.
Yes, yeah. Inactivity is still still an action, right?
Mm-hmm.
Inactivity is still an action. Right. There will be hell to pay if there's inactivity. And then you get to this point like, hey, what do I do? Like, if I can't pull off XYZ, but then I got some team calling and saying, hey, we heard Rich Paul talking last month. Like, is Fox available? And you're like, well, no, Fox isn't available. We're trying to build this thing. Like, okay, but you keep missing out on everything. Are you sure he's not available? Because he's probably got more value today than he does this summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, what is it you want for him now? And so now you start dragging that mess in, and how are you going to deal with that question?
Basically, the situation you're laying out, and correct me if I'm wrong, please. The Kings get to Feb 5. Now, let's say February 6th. It's deadline day. It's 8 a.m. Pacific time. They're 4 hours from the deadline. Cam Johnson deal is dead. John Collins got dealt in the weird Jimmy Butler trade that happened, and the Kings are sitting there. There's no substantial move they're going to make, and they know, hey, if we don't do this, Fox wants out of here. What do you do at that point? Because to me, there's a very logical thing to do now.
Yeah.
And that, so underscoring that is why there's so much urgency here, because that is not a path you want to go down.
No, I mean, it's a path that's like sitting, staring at you in the face right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have two paths. One of them then includes De'Aaron Fox, and maybe we got to pay the luxury tax. Maybe we have to give up draft picks. Maybe we have to do this and this. Or there's another path where you go, okay, what does life without De'Aaron Fox look like?
Mm-hmm.
And what do we get back in that deal? And how do we move down this path without him? And can we make other players happy, even though we just trade away the franchise player? And so you're going to be in some really, really dark waters here, man. Like, I am not somebody who would like to be in the shoes of these guys now, but self-created. Like,
no doubt.
Straight up.
No doubt.
We talk about this.
I don't have sympathy for the Kings front office here.
No. We've been talking, hey, you're sitting there whistling, walking down train tracks, and you can feel the rumble on the ground. You can hear the whistle blowing, and that's been coming at you for like 2 years, and you haven't got off the tracks. You haven't got out of the way of the train. It's coming. So like, whether you figure it out now or you got to figure it out this summer, like there are some potential dark times if you don't do your job.
Right.
Which is improve the roster. Like I always go back to the Jerry Reynolds-ism. If you've got a five-year plan in the NBA, you have no plan at all.
Right.
No plan.
Right.
You have to live in the moment in the NBA, and you have to make decisions that are very difficult decisions that have long-term ramifications, but you have to do it on the fly, and you have to do it under pressure. And the key thing there is you have to do it, whatever it is. You can't just sit there idly and go, okay, everything fell through again.
You may have to call the Nets and go, fine, here's an unprotected first.
If that's the right, rather, if you think
because,
it's the right move.
Because yeah. I'd way rather do that than go, okay, well, we won't do an unprotected pick to the Nets, so I guess we have to move De'Aaron now because we didn't make any trades.
Mm.
That's crazy. That's actually crazy.
That's crazy.
Don't do that. That's insane. That's why I understand there's a limit on the F them picks thing. Mm-hmm. Like I fully get that. And I fully understand why it's difficult for a front office that is living in the now, but also, you know what, trying to get to 2029, and you know what, there's a situation, all options are always on the table. There's a situation where in 2029, the Kings have the number 3 overall pick. I don't think it's going to happen. I wouldn't bet on that happening. But a GM in a front office has to operate as though that's a possibility. So I get why they wouldn't want to be like, yeah, hey, here's a 2029 unprotected first, just take it. But if it means going down, if that's the path to get Cam Johnson because the John Collins thing just isn't going to happen, if that's the path, I would way rather take that and risk that I'm still going to be pretty good in 2029 instead of the alternative, which is we go down this other path and it's the cliff that doesn't have a De'Aaron Fox bridge across it.
Well, that and you're not surviving that.
No chance.
You're not surviving that. So at what point?
I shouldn't
point,
say no chance. Well, it's a slim chance.
Yeah. You don't just, well, I mean, I don't think you survive a complete meltdown where the franchise has to do all of this stuff. But hey, look.
I agree.
Because
I also don't think we have to. We'll keep talking about this. I want to go to this hypothetical world for a moment before we jump back into reality. Kings 110, Nets 96. Ton of fallout from that game with trades that didn't happen. Players who didn't play. De'Aaron Fox had a great game. Domantas Sabonis freaking outstanding last night. We'll dive into all of that coming up here on The Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320, and it is Sacramento sports leader.
Every week on The Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears, and I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Somebody asked why we muted during the break, because we stay on the chatty house during breaks. We muted to discuss what the keyword for today is.
Oh, yeah, we had a keyword.
Yeah, I'm not going to give it away yet because I have not verified that it is
up and running. Yeah.
Yeah, so as soon as I get verification on that, we'll tell you what the keyword is. You're going to go to ESPN1320.com. This is a giveaway from our friends at Jiffy Lube. You get a $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificate, which is excellent.
Excellent.
And then you get an exclusive Insiders hoodie that you can only get through this giveaway or if you work here.
Neither one of us are wearing today.
Neither one of us. We should probably coordinate to where one of us wear the hoodie
it's
the
always
day after
wearing
a game.
A day after a game.
Yeah, it's just day after a game. So what, that's maximum like three times in a week?
Yeah, we have multiple colors.
That's fine.
Yeah, we have multiple looks.
At the next break, we'll just go get one.
There it is.
We'll just hold it up. All right. Thanks everybody on YouTube, everybody on Twitch, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Before we dive back into it, I want to get to the Elk Grove Kia talk line, which is 916-909-1320. It's 916-909-1320. Don, you're on The Insiders. What's up? Hey, Don.
Hey, Hammer. Hey, Hammer, Kyle, what's up?
TC, what's up, baby?
What's going on?
Hey, man, just, you know, look, vibing. Hey, Ham, I'm with you, Ham. Kyle, it has to be done. Monty doesn't have any more favors or passes. Like, bro, you got to get it done, right? You got rid of Mike. Like, this is it, Monty. Like, the whole pump faking and, oh, we got to move. That's out, bro. You got to get it done, like, today. I'm with you, Ham. Keep pushing that line, bro. It has to get done, Monty. You pump faking and saying we had to move and we can't. That's going to get you fired this all season, bro, period.
That is such an excellent way to describe what I feel like has happened over the last 5 years.
That's a great call by TC.
It is, TC. You did not say anything about Kyle Shanahan.
No, it's great.
Getting demoted or anything else. But the pump fake is exactly, you know, it's like when you go play basketball and someone just keep pump. They just pump fake, and you're like, are they going to stop?
Yep.
Nope, another pump fake.
We keep jumping.
Another pump fake.
We keep jumping.
Pump fake. You're jump. Like, it's so incredibly crazy that they just keep pump faking. And you know, like, anyway, eventually they'll get something done, I think.
Will they?
I don't know. Like, I shouldn't have said that. There are things that are brewing. They have so many things on the table.
I get it, and I get why that's exciting. I get the coffee pot is on. Let me know when the cup is poured.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I'm at. We thought the Cam Johnson thing yesterday. Oh, hey, Doug McDermott in before Kevin Herter. Oh, we're 25 minutes into this game. Kevin Herter hasn't played yet. Oh, man, here we go. Nothing. All right, well, hey, if that doesn't get done, they got plan B. Okay, well, no, still nothing on that.
Yeah.
Hey, but it's brewing. There's buzz. All right, man, whatever.
Yep.
Cool. There's buzz.
Well, I mean, like, people are like, what do we know? What do we, like, look, they have had talks with the Brooklyn Nets for Cam Johnson. They have had talks with the Utah Jazz for John Collins. They have had some conversations, at least somewhat, for Jonas Valanciunas, and the Zach LaVine thing keeps popping up. It just never goes away until Zach LaVine is no longer under contract somewhere and doesn't play basketball anymore.
I believe that there is at least one person in all 30 front offices that is like, hell yeah, Zach LaVine.
I think there is one person in every room where they're like, oh, I would do that. I mean, Zach LaVine rolls through Sacramento and looks like, you know, prime Michael Jordan.
Sure.
And you're like, hey, did you see all that? That was incredible. It's like, okay. Like, Is it $44 million incredible on surgically repaired knees?
Sure.
But maybe. But he doesn't play defense.
Yeah.
And the cost to get him, you know, what it would take to get him, just people start doing the math out there. There's no way for the Kings to come up with $40+ million, mm-hmm. unless De'Aaron Fox or Keegan Murray, or again, they're not taking a trade of DeMar DeRozan, who was there for 3 years or whatever, right. Chicago.
Yeah.
They're not taking DeMar DeRozan back, but like, there's no way to get to that number without breaking up your starting five.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it. We were talking about De'Aaron Fox in the last segment. And I think one of the issues here for the Kings is, again, that a good front office is operating with all options on the table.
Mm-hmm.
So they have laid out, I don't know if it's on a spreadsheet or on a whiteboard, they've got all these different pathways laid out where, hey, what does it look like if we don't make a trade? Okay, well, we already talked to Rich Paul and De'Aaron Fox's agent, and we know what the consequences are of us not getting a trade done. So let's start mapping that out.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to necessarily be calling around shopping De'Aaron Fox.
No.
At least that's not what I would do at this point. Certainly not after he drops 30 on 11 of 19.
If you're going to do that, you have to be transparent with the player.
Definitely.
And then the other thing is, like, there are teams that will call and say, hey, this is what we would give you for Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, I'm not listening. I wrote it all down, but I wasn't listening. that's okay. And then if somebody calls and says, hey, we got such an incredible deal for Fox, mm-hmm. that we have to consider it, then it's when you go sit down with the player and like, hey, like, I think this is like an honest conversation moment.
Yeah.
Do you want to be here? or do you not want to be here? Because sure. if you're going to give me this, if we're going to get to this summer and you don't want to be here and I've got to panic then and then go make a move, maybe that's what's best for the franchise. So you wait for the summer either way.
Sure.
And it, during the summer, you're able to go out and you know, get a couple of different offers and all that stuff. But there's also a possibility that it's like, okay, no, I don't want to be here. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, rip the Band-Aid off. Do it. That's
You'd
what it takes.
Find that out now.
Yeah.
Then when his contract is up.
As long as I'm getting the best value I think I can possibly get. You know, you want to get enough value out of a trade. And I'm not by any means saying I would trade De'Aaron Fox. Mm-hmm. I'm trading De'Aaron Fox when I have to trade De'Aaron Fox. When there's no other option left.
Yeah, that's the...
And he's not signing an extension. And I've got nowhere else to go except for trade him.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I'm trading him.
Or unless, and this is something I always bring up in the NFL, one of my biggest pet peeves, and I promise this circles back to De'Aaron Fox, so hang with me. One of my biggest pet peeves in the NFL is when there's a report that comes out or a speculation that comes out or whatever you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's like such and such player is available for 2 first-round picks. It's like, yeah, most of the NFL is available for 2 first-round picks. If somebody called, if the Titans called the 49ers and said, hey, Christian McCaffrey, 2 first-round picks. Like, yep, we'll take those.
Yep.
Thanks. See ya. Like, that's it. But again, first-round picks are valuable. People don't do that.
I think there's maybe 5 players in the league that aren't going to get, I mean, it's some
it
of
might
them.
Be,
it could
might be more than
3 or 4.
It might be more than that just with the value of quarterbacks. But still, it's not.
Yeah.
My point is, getting this back to De'Aaron Fox, is there's a price for almost everyone. And if some team calls, the Kings may not want to trade De'Aaron Fox. They may not be making calls on De'Aaron Fox. But if the Rockets call, the Rockets, who just beat Cleveland twice and then went into Boston and beat Boston?
Mm.
Really nice little run for the Rockets. If the Rockets called, and again, I don't think this has happened, but just follow me. They said, hey, how about Amen Thompson and Jabari Smith Jr. and Cam Whitmore and Reed Shepard and 4 first-round picks and 3 pick swaps? If there's just an overwhelming offer that comes in, and if that's not your idea of an overwhelming offer, make your own up. That you're just like, dude, we have to do this.
No, you have to.
Then sure.
That's it.
But I don't believe that that's necessarily happening. So all of that is to say, I think the Kings do have to weigh that when figuring out, okay, is it worth giving up an unprotected first for Cam Johnson? In a vacuum, probably not. For a guy that's going to come off the bench, he's going to play 22 minutes a night.
Maybe 27, maybe 28, but still, the point is...
fewer than 30 minutes a night?
Yep.
Is it worth an unprotected first? Yeah, probably not. But if it's that player plus you're appeasing De'Aaron Fox and ensuring that he's going to stay here in Sacramento, I think it's worth it. And I think they have to factor that in to how they're going about these deals.
I totally agree, and that's an excellent point. The Kings are in a different space than they have been in the past.
1,000%.
And I'm going to bring up here, Secure and Bagley here in the chat says, what has Fox done in the past to say he will force the Kings' hand? It's one thing. He did one thing to tell you he's going to force their hand. He moved away from Chris Gaston, his friend and longtime agent, and went to Rich Paul. That told you that all bets are off going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Rich Paul is now running the show.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And so, yes, De'Aaron Fox did tell you that he would make a demand. And it's when he hired that guy. And when that guy went out and got him his shoe deal, where he now has a signature shoe with the Curry brand, with like...
That colorway he was wearing last night was sick, by the way.
I didn't see which one he was
like,
wearing.
It was like an olive green with like a little gold on it.
Well, he has the rose-colored ones for his little girl, too.
Oh
yeah.
Just every De'Aaron Fox signature shoe that has come out has been excellent. Every color of it.
Yeah.
Been a big fan. Anyways.
I think people in the chat, they have a good question, too. And it's something that everyone's asking now. Is Fox worth the Supermax? You know what? Like, look, we talk about this all the time. You think you have a $5 million house, but the most you can get for it when you go to sell it is $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
That means you have a $2 million house. I hate to tell you, like, it doesn't matter what you think it's worth. De'Aaron Fox is going to get that money, whether you out there in the chatty house think he's going to or not.
Right.
If he's eligible for the Supermax, he's getting that money. Correct. So hate to tell you, he's a Supermax player.
Yeah. This conversation happens probably a lot when guys get Supermaxes. There are your obvious ones. LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, just lay up Supermax guys, right?
Yep.
There's going to be a lot of players, though, that their fan base is going to go, yeah, but is he really worth the Supermax? Like, yes. Yes. 1,000%.
Yeah. Like, to your franchise? Heck yeah, he is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean.
Not even close.
Yeah, the Kings don't have somebody out there with, like, that much talent.
And frankly, if the front office has that question, if the Kings front office, and I don't think they do. In fact, I would be almost certain they don't.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Kings front office has that question, then you should be making phone calls.
Well, that, and if the front office has that that feeling on him, as an owner, you should also be making your own phone calls and finding someone else to run your front office.
You know what? That's a good point. Yeah.
Talent is what it is.
1,000%.
Talent runs the world in the NBA.
Dude, I mean, look no further than last night, man.
Yeah.
11 of 19 from the field, 4 of 7 for 3. Granted, it's Brooklyn, not a great team. But he can score 30 in an NBA game with half a left hand and a back injury.
And a
glute injury. A glute injury that's become a back injury?
And a thumb injury.
That was the half a hand.
Yeah. Okay.
Is it his left thumb or his right thumb?
It's his left pinky, his right thumb. Yeah, he's like a cat. He has no opposable
8/10 of a hand.
Yeah.
Per my quick math and counting on my fingers.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. He was super impressive last night, De'Aaron Fox was. And it's a really stark reminder of, if you had any question about how good De'Aaron Fox is.
Yeah, like 2 weeks ago, he was 6th in the NBA in scoring.
Yeah, bro. Like, this isn't.
Out of 450 players, he's 6th. So if you don't know that he's really good, he's really good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he put 60 on the board earlier this season.
If you want to ask if Keegan Murray's worth a max rookie extension, that can be a conversation we can have.
Of course.
But De'Aaron Fox is a Supermax player, assuming he's eligible for the Supermax.
Well, that, and just so everyone knows, the Kings have offered him max extensions each of the last two summers.
Right.
He just won't sign that because if you're All-NBA 2 years in a row, I mean, if you're All-NBA in the year before, you get into, you're eligible for an extension.
Yeah.
Then you can get a Supermax, which is just different. It's 35% of the salary cap, not 25 or 30%. And then 8% raises on top of that. It's a lot of money. I get it. But at the same time, like, if you trade Fox and you don't get a star-level player back or a player who has star potential, you're going to be chasing that for years. Like, again, because you're going to be just good enough to not be bad and not to get into the top end of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And you may have screwed up everything to get there. And when you trade him, let's say you get 3 first-round picks. If you get 3 first-round picks from a team like San Antonio, right, just for instance, you get 3 first-round picks from San Antonio.
Do you still have those odds up since we're here?
Yeah.
San Antonio was what, a plus 3,000?
They were a plus 3,000 for sure.
Okay. So San Antonio is a plus 3,000. What are you getting back from San Antonio?
Well, that's a problem because you're asking for Devin Vassell, Jeremy Sohan.
That phone call starts at Wemby.
Well,
they're going to say no.
They're going to say
that's
no.
That's where you start. But anyways.
But a realistic phone call is like, I want Sohan, I want Vassell, I want Stephon Castle, and I want a couple of firsts.
Yeah.
And the problem is that not one of those players I mentioned is anything more than a really good role player.
And your firsts are going to be back into the first round more than likely.
Yep. And you're giving them De'Aaron Fox to pair with Victor Wembanyama, and history will be written. He'll make multiple all-star teams playing alongside Victor Wembanyama as the number two.
And the storyline every time they go to the finals was, look at that time they fleece Sacramento. This already happens with the Trey Lance trade for the 49ers, because they traded with the Dolphins, and the Dolphins turned that trade into like Tyreek Hill and like Bradley Chubb and I think Jaylen Waddle, and like they built their playoff team on the back of this trade. That would be the talking point every time the Spurs have any success. is, wow, look at these players they got rid of, and then look at what they got back. And look at all the success they've had. That's a thumbs down for me.
Yeah.
Legitimately, it feels like Houston's the only team that...
It is, but he, just so you know, he's going to have a say in where he goes, because that's where you're at with him. That it is, yeah, where you're at with Fox. He has 1 year after this season left on his deal. All he has to say is, I'm not signing there.
Right.
So you can trade me there, but I'll play a year and I'm leaving.
Right.
And I'm not signing there.
Right.
And they'll be like, well, we hold some of the... You don't hold any cards at all. Like, because now we're dealing with...
Now
you're
running up against free agents.
You already lost the Supermax. So you're going to be dealing with 8% raises versus 5% raises. And at the end of the day, any team that says that they're not going to negotiate and actually trade you at the last second isn't being honest. Mm-hmm. Because if they can get something out of trading you in a sign-in trade to get you to maximize your money, they will. Because, like, why not? Why would they not get something on the way out the door? So he's going to get his money no matter what. So he holds a lot of the cards here, and that's the problem the Kings are facing. And that's why getting down to, like, someone in the chat said, well, he didn't hire Rich Paul, like, last summer. It's like, no, he hired Rich Paul, like, 2 years ago, because this is exactly where it was going.
Yep.
This is exactly where he was then and where he knew things would potentially go, and he needed the best of the best to get him to where he wants to be. And that still could be in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that, like, Sacramento's done, but you got to do something here if you want him to be here. You have to give him an opportunity to play for a title someday, and that should be the goal, anyways.
Yeah.
But, like, look, at you got to figure out ways. You can't just sit around and be inactive for 2 years. You can't go through an entire summer and you come out of it with Chris Duarte. Like, that's it. Like what exactly just happened there?
Or if you are, because I understood it last offseason. I understood the quote-unquote run it back idea.
After the 2022-23 season. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Two off seasons ago, I understood it. But you have to have a plan in place when the trade deadline rolls around in early February that if this is not continuing its upward trajectory, there's got to be pieces that move. And then they didn't do anything.
We were on the air talking about the same exact thing. Like, your team isn't good enough. It's not good enough.
We've had the same conversation for, how long have we been doing the show?
Yeah.
Year and a half.
The first year it was like, okay, you got something. And you're right. It's okay to run.
I didn't hate it.
You still have to make some adjustments in that offseason. You still have to make some adjustments. But you get to the next, you get to that trade deadline, and you knew that team was not nearly the same team it was before.
Yep.
So,
and then you go, you add DeMar DeRozan. Okay, great. But you still have all the same problems that you had two off seasons ago, last off season, last trade deadline. That's, you got to do something now, because if you don't, I mean, I know it sounds dramatic, and I know it sounds like we're being alarmist and all that, but I promise we're not.
No.
This is how the NBA works.
Yep.
They had these same conversations in New Orleans when Anthony Davis is going to ask out. No, Anthony Davis would never do that. He's loyal to New Orleans. Da, 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 da. Like, yeah, well.
Now he's a Laker.
Did you see he had like 43 and 22 last night?
He was incredible. Yeah. He's doing a really nice job of going out there, sitting with Shams, and then he's making his case for his All-Star bid, making his case for All-NBA.
That's what we need Domas doing. Domas, be more of a jerk. I need Domantas Sabonis to be, I don't think I can say the word I want to say. I need him to be a mean person.
Yeah.
Go lobby. Go tell everyone how much every other center you go against stinks, except for Nikola Jokic. Let everybody know.
Mm-hmm.
Go talk to Shams. Go talk to Sam Amick.
Go sit down.
Sam Amick's there at Golden One Center. You can just go, eh.
Yeah.
Pull him aside. A little chat. Don't let the Kings do it for you.
No.
I need Domas lobbying publicly. He never would.
No. Well, I mean, he did do a Netflix show. And then he went out and he's put the biggest numbers of his career. So he's been tremendous.
He has. He has. Which is why I want him to be more vocal.
I'm with you.
Like, if people aren't going to notice the box scores, okay, fine.
He's up to 14.6 rebounds per game. And he's shooting 48.1% from three. 21, 14.6, 6.5 assists. shooting 48% from three and 60.9 from the field, and he might not make the All-Star team.
He's going to make the All-Star team.
All right.
I will.
He didn't make it last year.
I will bet.
Uh-oh.
I don't want to bet.
You don't want to bet?
No, he has to. I don't. We did the whole, because last year the De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis were at the top of the snub conversation.
Mm-hmm.
In every article you'd read, and I did, because I wanted to, I was going to use as radio fodder on any article that didn't have them listed as snubs, and they were listed as the top two on like every single article.
You were gonna
I was like, I'm ready to. I was on the most random NBA websites you've ever seen in your life.
Get the dude on the radio and just like ambush him. So we're going to need to know why. Why?
Some 16-year-old kid. MyNBAblog.wordpress.com. Like, I found him. No, but every single one. So I don't think that same mistake happens this year.
No, I hope not.
And the numbers are just absurd. And he's been really good. The Kings have been winning. He's been really good as the Kings have been winning. I think he makes the All-Star team this year.
All right.
I hope the coaches factor in the fact that Sacramento is 80 miles up the road.
They did not give us lunch boxes this year, like the All-Star. Did you see the All-Star metal lunch boxes they had made? I'll show you one time.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Last year? It had to be last season.
It was last season.
And hilarious.
Yeah, it didn't go well. They didn't make the All-Star team still, even with the cool lunch box.
Just a big thumbs down.
Big thumbs down.
It's a big thumbs down. Yeah. We might be out of Chase Center. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Hopefully Domas is there with us. All right. We'll have the trade stuff for you. That'll stay in the conversation for sure. But the Kings beat the Nets last night 110-96. Was I wrong to not be moved by that game that much?
You can be ambivalent.
We'll talk about it. All right. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320. It's Sacramento Sports Center.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.